stuck with your on-time traffic.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. I'm Russell Smith alongside Houston Kresh. The incomparable Tucker Harlan steps to center stage with today's Top 4 at 4. Tucker, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee baseball will officially play in a Top 4 matchup next weekend in Lexington against Kentucky. The Wildcat sweep of Auburn in Plainsman Park put them ahead of the Vols at 3 in D1 baseball's poll, while the Vols remained at 4 after their sweep of LSU.
Setting up a 3-4 matchup this weekend. You know, we all thought that LSU was going to be the big series when the schedule came out. Ooh, look at that one. And it was fun. The 3 sellout crowds, and sweep and all that stuff, but I don't know that we were challenged.
I think Georgia was probably going to be your most challenging one looking back at it now, unless Mizzou or South Carolina can do something, at least at Lindsey Nelson.
I mean, we kind of lucked up with the schedule.
Yeah.
Didn't we? No Arkansas, no Texas A&M. The top 2 teams in the country. So this will be a good litmus test for the Volunteers, and looking forward to seeing how is it Friday, Saturday, Sunday? We have a Thursday game coming up. Is that – that's with Mizzou, right?
Yeah, Mizzou and okay. South Carolina, I know for sure, are right. Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So that'll be what it's like for the rest of the time at Lindsey Nelson this year, with a few Tuesday games in between. At number 2, Kim Caldwell has brought 2 assistants in from SEC schools to Tennessee. Alabama assistant Roman Tubner and Mississippi State assistant Gabe Lazo will be on staff for the Lady Vols next season.
It's interesting. So she brings the 1 assistant with her from Marshall, and she brings 1 from Alabama and 1 from Ole Miss?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. I don't know anything about these additions, but I know that there was some pressure on her to keep Samantha Williams,
yep,
who was perceived to be the top recruiter. And I think it's just, let's go ahead and cut ties and build something new and exciting. And I know that's not particularly deep analysis, but I do like the moves.
Yeah, the same people who were mad that she let Samantha Williams go are now mad that she hired 2 males. There's going to be people who are just going to be mad until she's, you know, winning a bunch of games, having a lot of fun with the style of play. But
I thought we liked diversity.
Yeah.
Oh, not when it's
no.
Yeah.
Men.
Well, see, the issue here is that Samantha Williams, like, she was heralded as like this Rodney Garner of the women's basketball team that like had this great connection with recruits.
But her recruiting hadn't been very good.
But didn't recruit well. It's so weird. Just didn't work there.
Well, hopefully it works with this new group that she's put together.
At number 3, 2 more Kentucky basketball players have begun to look elsewhere for their future in college basketball. 5-star commit Boogie Fland has requested
what
release
a name.
From
Boogie?
His national... Boogie Fland is his name.
Want. Don't know what position he plays. Don't know how tall he is. Can he score? Can he defend? But I want him.
So he's requested release from his national letter of intent. Additionally, DJ Wagner has entered the transfer portal.
Also want.
He averaged just under 10 points per game and just over 3 assists per game in this past season.
Boogie Fland, the number 26 player in the country, according to 247 Sports, combo guard from White Plains, New York. I mean, I would not be opposed to...
Nope, no.
You want to have... I think you want to have 2 or 3 freshmen a year, knowing that some are going to leave, but you want to...
Right.
Again, I feel like Rick Barnes has been at his best when he has these groups of veteran players that have been in his system for a couple of years, and then as juniors and seniors, they're really strong players. And
the problem has been getting them to that point.
Yeah.
And with the new – just what college basketball is now, I think it's going to be rarer and rarer at the Power 5 level. Do you have a guy say, you know what, I'm comfortable sitting for 2 years – waiting my turn when they can just hop in the portal, go play a little bit more, and get some more money.
And you want Wagner.
I just think he's pretty good.
Well, he's banged up a lot this year.
Yeah. Tennessee didn't have to face him up there, and then when they came down here, he fouled out of that game.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be hard to sign any sort of competent point guard with Ziegler on the roster.
Well, like we were just talking about, you've got to find somebody who – and you're – I think we all agree. Like, Ziegler, we wanted him to get healthy. Once he got healthy, he was probably playing a little bit too much. When you start cracking 37, 38, yeah. 39 minutes – I would like to see, especially early in the season, I understand that new point guards in the Rick Barnes offense are going to make mistakes, but you've got to be able to let some of these guys play through a couple of mistakes, get, 8 minutes, 9 minutes early in the season, especially when you're up by, 30 or 40. You've got to do a little bit better job getting those guys minutes when you can.
And finally, at number four, the Philadelphia Eagles and Devontae Smith have agreed to a 3-year extension that ties the wide receiver to the team through 2028. The extension is worth $75 million, with $51 million guaranteed.
Probably money well spent.
Yeah. I mean, everyone said, the biggest concern with him when he got to the NFL was his size, mm-hmm. and he's proven that he's durable. It works. And with that speed... and ability, yeah, I think that's a – and he and Hurts are so familiar and comfortable with each other now, too.
Thank you, Tucker. That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by the Fan Run Open this Saturday at Williams Creek Golf Course. Check out fanrunradio.com for sign-up information. We have room for a handful of more teams. The weather looks great. There's no UT football, no basketball, no baseball. It's going to be in the morning before baseball plays, so – come on out, spend the day with us, and the morning with us anyway, and it all goes to benefit three great charities. Find out more at fanrunradio.com. The inaugural Fan Run Open Saturday at Williams Creek Golf Course. And scuttlebutt online that Jonas Adu is taking a hard look at Arkansas.
I saw that. How would that make you feel?
Once they leave, I don't really care where they go. Unless they went to Kentucky or Alabama, maybe Florida, it doesn't really bother me where they go. So it wouldn't bother me. And from Jonas's standpoint, I could see how he just wants to get the NBA. Cal gets guys in the NBA. I could see how Cal would want a Rick Barnes player because he knows Barnes and knows how – well, Adu has been developed. Is he? And the guy was second team All SEC.
Yeah.
You're John Calipari. You have a chance to add an All SEC big man. Yeah, that would be a great move for him. Said it last week. A lot of people disagree with me. That's fine. I would rather have Adu than Awaka, just because of that length and that rim protection. I think is so important to today's game. So I would hate. I just hate losing Adu.
I do too.
It doesn't really matter to me where he goes. I guess I would prefer they go out of conference so we don't have to play them.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing is, I don't know, especially under Barnes, it feels like you form a different kind of bond with his players maybe than players in the past. And, it's one thing when a player transfers to SMU or UNC Asheville, transferring in conference to and to Cal would just, I think, be really weird when you have to face them next year.
Yeah, we haven't seen one of those under Barnes just yet because you've had a couple go to Power Six places. Like, obviously, Ticket worked his way to Providence over time, and then Kamwa's gone to Michigan, but they haven't really played for
teams. Was it Burns this year when we played NC State? Is that the first time we've matched up against a player who transferred out? That's the only one that comes to mind for me.
Mm.
No. Of course, he makes a Final Four.
But we beat him.
Yeah, we did. No, we handled it. Like, it was a fun game, fine game. Took care of business, but I think that's the only one that I can remember.
Darlin Stone Dubar gets out of town without committing. We were told there would be commitments.
Publicly committing. You know kids these days. They got to go home and get their gym set up and have their
graphic designer.
Yeah, graphic designer. It costs us,
Rob Lewis over at VolQuest, I guess he caught up with them at the airport as they were leaving and said that he was going to take more visits.
Okay.
I did see Justin Gainey briefly at the game, the Orange and White game on Saturday. He was in a hurry to catch up with the recruits, but I saw Cade Tyson there. And apparently Milicic comes in tomorrow for his visit. Did you see the highlight video that Jordan Moore posted of Milicic?
Yes. He and Tyson, for having not heard of them until a few days ago, pretty impressive.
All in on that three. Yeah. Milicic, because I just saw 6'10", 225, and I'm thinking, oh, here's a big lumbering European big man.
No. Ball skills.
He puts the ball on the floor. Yep. He's silky. He can shoot it outside. Into a three-level scorer. Averaged 13 points a game at Charlotte. I would like to know what more about why he didn't average a little bit more there. But on his highlight video, which
is a highlight video,
yes, you never see the guy fumbling the ball off his leg out of bounds in the highlight video.
Yeah. Switching pivot feet and getting called for travel type thing. Right.
But he looked good, man. Again, 6'10", 225, I'm thinking, oh, big lumbering European big man, maybe a backup to Awaka. After watching the highlight video, I'm thinking, man, maybe this is your stretch four.
Yeah. No, versatile. And like you said, three levels. And now, when he gets here, we'll see how much he's allowed to go to the third level.
Yeah.
Rick Barnes, typically players over 6'8", doesn't like him to venture out to the three too much, but we saw with Dalton Knecht, he kind of, has a little more leeway if you get a player with talent that boils over.
And then I guess the other new name that's out there for Tennessee today as far as the portal goes, Roddy Gale Jr., who just finished his sophomore season at Ohio State. He was a four-star top 100 player out of Niagara Falls, New York. Averaged 13.5 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 3.1 assists for the Buckeyes this year. Shot a blistering 28.4% from three-point range.
That's not very...
I have another name that might
shot 43% as a freshman, but not nearly as many minutes.
Gotcha.
Yes, Ducker.
Dylan Mitchell from Texas is entering the transfer portal. This is coming out less than a minute ago from On3.
Wow. A guy we recruited heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily as a five-star guy out of high school, could not make an impact at Texas. You talk about anonymous. We played them in the NCAA tournament. I don't recall a single thing he did.
Let's see.
I mean, there's obviously – we obviously know him. If the staff wants – if they want him, and I don't know that for a guy that – now, he did play 30 minutes a game. He was one of their starters and everything, but he averaged 9.6, 7.5 rebounds. I mean, does that not just scream Josiah?
Absolutely. He can't shoot the three, but he's a great rim protector if you need him to be.
6'8", 205.
He had 2 points in 26 minutes against Tennessee in the NCAA tournament. One of three from the field.
So he doesn't shoot.
No.
It's all dunks. I'm just of the opinion you want a rim protector. Give me Jonas Adu, a 7-footer, somebody in the middle that just discourages shots from even being taken in the first place at the rim, and then surround him with four guys who can shoot. Positionless basketball. I don't care what the measures. You could have 4 6-foot-2 shooters out there, but just give me a rim protector and four shooters.
I mean, that's what Purdue did.
Win. Yeah, that's how you win now.
In any other year, as long as it's not UConn waiting for him in the final, they probably win. Because what did Edie have against UConn? Did he have 37?
37.
Yeah.
Now, that was padded toward the end of the
game.
Sure.
But, if you've got and him shoot it particularly well against UConn.
My rim protector doesn't even really have to score that much. I just want him to protect the rim. I just want him to defend and rebound at a really high level. And if he gives you 10 points a game, all the better. But everybody else better shoot. And so that would be my concern with Dylan Mitchell is he's 0% from three-point range for his career. If he's attempting one, he hasn't made it.
I was just looking.
Two seasons of college basketball, he's yet to make a three-point shot.
Career high for attempts, 0. I don't think he's taken
that. I don't want to rip on the kid. If he wants to come here and Barnes wants him, by all means.
Sure.
How are you marketing yourself to the pros if you're 6'8", 205, and you – it's not that you can't shoot threes. You don't shoot threes.
Don't shoot threes and just don't take that many field goal attempts in general. I mean, like I said, against us, 26 minutes, three shot attempts.
That's a weird one. That's a weird one. 865-288-3131 is your phone number. We'll go to the phones when we continue. 865-288-3131, your number to get on the drive. Monday afternoon edition of the show continues. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
105.7 FM, 1340 AM.
Online at fanrunradio.com.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. A variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. We've got a podcast in case you miss anything live. Go back and relive the glory. You can listen again, even if you did hear it live. And that was so good, I want to listen to it twice. We do that with music. You never do it with talk shows.
I do. I've gone back and listened to some funny stuff we did.
Most people don't. You're sick. Welcome back, by the way, Bear.
Thank you. Sorry I had to step out. Thank you, boys. Thanks, Tuck, for covering for me.
Anytime.
Did I miss anything?
I mean, the ratings just shot through the roof. I don't know.
Go to hell,
something
Russell.
About
Houston, did I miss anything?
TJ. I know you always it. You always like his calls so much.
Solid top four at four.
The boys on the Discord have been asking me to, I think they're kind of trying to get me into trouble.
Well, I know they haven't been very kind toward TJ.
No.
What are they doing now?
They're calling for a preemptive flush just before he even speaks.
That's not nice.
Well, know if you know this about the Discord guys. They're kind of a rough and tumble bunch.
Let's get Phil in here next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Nice day, David.
What's up, Philly?
How you and the boys doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Was Barry on the sidelines of the Tennessee game Saturday?
No, I was in the building Friday night when we tore LSU's kingdom down.
Yeah, I actually got a picture of you and Russell and D.R. Wall on my phone. It's kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was at the baseball game.
We saw who's who out there Friday night.
Hey, D.R. Vol, sneaky big.
Hmm.
But all I said, there was a coach that looked just like Bear with a headset on Tennessee sideline Saturday. Did y'all see that?
Just a good-looking son of a gun with a bald head. Just beautiful.
He's the one that gets torched every year in secondary. That's who's coaching.
I was about to say, there's only one I can think of that looks even remotely close to Bear.
Wilmo?
Yeah.
Tucker's right.
I'm a supporter of Coach Martinez, unlike you ruffians.
Guys, are y'all concerned about the running back situation?
A little bit. I'm concerned. What happens if – I don't even want to say. What happens if RB1 – turns an ankle in the first game, you know?
Deshaun Bishop's your starting running back. Or do they move Cam Seldon?
Well, he's injured.
Not Seldon.
Oh, no. There's
Keith? I mean,
you're messed up. And that's why I wanted them to go after Dallin Hayden so badly.
Him and that who's the other one? The Oklahoma State kid? Did he enter the portal last week? Was it Oklahoma State?
Where did Dallin
was
go?
Was it Oregon State?
Maybe been Oregon State.
Oh, Damian Martinez. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
I've heard some people say we might get involved there.
Is Dallin off the table? Did he commit somewhere?
No, I mean, the recruiting folks have said that they don't think Tennessee's going to go down that road.
Why not? They need one. I mean, they're flirting with Zach. It's almost like not having a backup point guard for Ziegler. It's the same crap. It's stupidity.
I don't know. I would love to get the truth serum into Heupel and ask him his thoughts on it. I don't think you want to take a guy. You're not going to take anybody that's worse than Deshaun Bishop or Khalifa Keith.
Mm-hmm.
You want a good player, but the good players probably want to go where they're going to be RB1. And it feels like Dylan Sampson is firmly entrenched as our starting running back right now. And we can sit here and talk about how, well, you need two backs and we split carries and we had three guys. But to the guy in the portal that's leaving the portal because he wasn't getting the carries he wanted at his old school, he's not going to believe you because he feels like he was lied to by the coaches. The other, you said I was going to get these carries and I didn't. So he wants to go somewhere where he knows he is going to be the starting running back.
Well, that being said, I think Sampson's a good running back, but if Selden is not 100%, who's going to get our third and one, get the ball and run and get a first down? I don't see one.
I do think Bishop passes the eye test. I think he looks good.
He looked bigger than I thought he would, based on his numbers and what you saw. Well, and
he's more of what they were hoping to get. He's the same type of running back as Selden. He's
Deshaun Bishop.
Well, Amari Thomas running from behind, so he can't be too fast.
to your point, though, Phil, I think they should take a big swing in the portal at a running back. And, hey, if one of the other guys, and I'll throw Cam Selden in this list, gets mad and leaves, then you got to have guys that you can count on going into the season.
That's just the way it is now.
Yeah.
TJ calling in. Hope it's this time next week you don't call in because y'all may be eating a lot of crow if Kentucky beats us 2 out of 3 because they did 2 years ago.
Sure.
Against the greatest team in Tennessee history.
I'm not expecting to roll in there and sweep this weekend.
No. It'd be nice. I'd take it. But, yeah, what's the old SEC saying? Don't get swept on the road. Take 2 out of 3 at home. It'd be nice to win the series.
Yeah, I think we're past the point of don't get swept.
Sure.
But we want to win every series
we
play.
Yes,
including this one. And would love to sweep, obviously. But it's going to be difficult.
Very.
Who's got the easiest conference schedule, Tennessee or Kentucky?
I have to go and look at so far Kentucky has had the easier schedule. I don't know what they have the back half, and we are halfway through SEC play now. We've got Kentucky, Mizzou, Florida, Vandy, and South Carolina. So that's pretty good. I know Florida is not been what we thought they were going to be, and I know Missouri's Missouri, but Vanderbilt and South Carolina are top 25 programms.
Kentucky still has to see Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Those are the two tough ones on the back end of their schedule.
Well, we haven't had a backbreak, and we don't play A&M or Arkansas, right?
Tennessee does not play either one of those teams.
I mean, that's a bonus. It's almost like a Missouri and their football schedule last year, same type of thing.
That's a good comparison, yeah.
But I enjoyed your basketball recruiting update there, W. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
You getting nervous yet, Phil?
No.
Okay,
there's plenty of players out there. They know what they're doing. I don't know if there's any Dalton Connects out there, but
he's a unicorn.
They gotta get some people and shoot, and they need a rim protect. I do agree with W on that.
I've been saying for years.
Gone, guys. Just go say bye to him. Mm. If he wanted $800,000, he wasn't good enough to get $800,000 here. That's the rumor I've heard. Have y'all heard that rumor?
I mean, he's worth it to me. It ain't my money. We throw around millions of dollars for these Kentucky guys. We're going to have to – you asked the question, are we okay with our NIL last week in basketball? And I kind of tend to think we are, or at least we were last year, but it sounds like the price of business is going up. Because Arkansas is investing a lot of new money, and it sounds like Kentucky's going to be investing a lot of new money.
That's what gets tough, right? When those two schools make a hire, and they have to go big right out of the gate because they have – I mean, Arkansas had, what, one player? They have to go get good players if they want to compete, and that just, like you said, it drives the price up everywhere.
Well, it would be dumb to go to Arkansas because Arkansas is going to bring in all the Cal's recruits from Kentucky. And he's just going to be sitting on the bench at Arkansas. He's really stupid. Whoever his agent is ain't very smart.
These guys get pulled in so many different directions by so many people. And you know, when you're a young man, you're 20 years old, and all you want to do is make the NBA, and you've got all these different people telling you different things with different motivations, it can be hard to discern what's the truth.
I heard Jeff Goodman on another show earlier today. He said that Alabama's NIL was $900,000 for last year. This year it'll be $3 million. So that shows you how much this NIL's getting out of control.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm talking about is whatever we had a great roster last year.
Yeah.
And whatever we had to fund it was fine for last year. I don't know that it's fine next year and going forward. We're going to have to come up with some more money.
I know. How much more money? There's got to be a breaking point. They're asking for fans at all this. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sure you've seen the fan shaming. You've seen that. Oh, if everybody would just give $20, think about how – I mean, it's ridiculous.
Like, okay, I'll give 20
bucks.
Everybody
gives me 20 bucks.
I'll give 20 bucks. Like, Rick Barnes and Josh Heupel should be able to give $20,000, you know, $1 million, whatever.
Did you talk out him lately?
Yeah, we heard from him last week a few times.
I heard him a couple times, but, I mean, I wouldn't hear him today. See ya.
I mean, I can't –
call him on the phone,
I don't know if
Phil.
You're aware how this works, Philly, but – I cannot make listeners pick up the phone and call.
You just put up the Utah signal right there. See what happens.
Yeah, I've said for years now, I don't worry. I'm through worrying about the basketball roster as long as Rick Barnes is here. I just sort of assume he will have good players. Dalton Knecht was manna from heaven last year. I don't expect to have players like that, but I don't expect to go into a season deficient, and I don't think Tennessee was deficient at any one position or anything like
right.
that this past year. And I would expect that's going to be the case next year. Is they're really good at finding players to plug in and replace players with, and if they get to a point in the fall, you know, August, September, and oh, my God, we need some – okay, well, we'll take Zakai Ziegler. Oh, we're short a bit. Okay, we'll take Tobe Awaka, which is when they took those two guys. And so and they were not heralded recruits, right? So I just assume that they're going to find enough players to fill their needs before next season. It's just – it's an exciting journey, man. Mm-hmm. Like, who's it going to be and how good can we get?
I was trying to remember this morning – at what point did we finally find out about Dalton Knecht? And I'm not talking about that knucklehead used to be on the air with it claims that he's known about him since birth. Do you guys remember, like, when did we figure out? Like, they didn't know that he was going to be what he was until, what, he got up here, and then they got a look at him in person once he got to campus in the summer?
I mean, I don't know. You heard that we talked to Justin Gainey about it the last time he was on the show, and asked him the same question, and he said, yeah, you know, he looked good in the summer, but you still don't know until you get into games. And so that's, for me, is when they started playing games.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned specifically the Michigan State exhibition when he does the behind the back, takes it coast to coast, then thunder dunks on that guy. That's what everybody kind of said, huh, well, didn't know he could do that. And then I think the next big one was probably, what, North Carolina? When he drops 38, 37.
That was kind of it for me. It was the North Carolina game was, ooh, this cat has something a little bit different.
A little different.
Because you remember, he did struggle a little bit in Maui.
Yeah, he got the cramp, and then we saw what he did against North Carolina. Then he rolled his ankle, so then there was another week and a half-ish where he wasn't quite himself. I think he had a game in there with 4, maybe 5 points.
Yeah.
And then once league play started, any given night, he could go for 30.
Let's get a call from Joshy Boy. What's up, Josh?
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you.
That was a really good call from Phil.
It happens every now and then.
Yeah. I guess he wasn't holding a beer in his hand.
We drank beer.
Yep. So, Russ, really good series against LSU this week, sweeping the Bayou Tigers.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about not expecting to sweep. Let's just win a series. And you get that done Saturday, and Sunday was just sort of icing on the cake. But you talk about a program that was devoid of their past swagger. I mean, that LSU bunch looked beaten down by the end of it.
Oh, yeah. So let me ask you guys this. I know you guys probably don't have the stats in front of you, but who would you rather have, like, in a clutch hit to knock in a base hit or hit a home run to take the lead? Who would you rather have, Dylan Crews or Billy Amick?
Dylan Dreiling?
Crews from LSU that played last year.
Probably. I mean, he was the – was he not the college player of the year? I mean, he was SEC player of the year.
He was hitting over 500 at points in the season.
Yeah.
He had some, he did – that kid did have some Todd Helton-like similarities.
Yeah, I think it has to be Crews. And I'm not knocking Amick. That was an unbelievable moment Friday night. First pitch he sees after getting back from the injury, and he puts it over the fence. That was awesome. But it's hard to deny Crews – his flowers after what he accomplished last year.
Right. Yeah, what's whatever song they play when Billy Barrel comes up to bat, I love that song. That's a really good rock song.
The Stroke by Billy Squire? You don't know what that is?
Yeah.
That's before his time. I mean, it's early 1980s.
I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles is before my time, but I know I'm aware of it. It's a banger. William Squire, Joshy boy.
Okay. Billy for Billy.
Everybody, so, have you have the herd? Or have you
Bear,
had the herd?
Just
Bear, a little update. Did you have a great time Friday at the game?
Yeah, it was a little cold. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Got to see, got to hang, number one, got to hang out with my buddy Russ away from work. Good. It was kind of fun. Got to see, Logan, Tucker and the rest of the leather elbow patch, the baseball brigade, the media guys good in their stuff. Little tent.
And Russ did say you were on your best behavior Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was. You know, we sat down. We got there late. There was such a big crowd.
Mm.
The parking garage was full, so I wasted a lot of time there and then had to go park in across the street and ran over to get in the game, end up getting in there in the middle
you
of the first inning.
Parked next to me, didn't you?
Parked right next to Tucker.
That's where I always park.
I was going to write something in the grime on your windshield, but
that's not nice. So we get to the game, sit down. We finally, Bear's got to get a hot dog before he sits down, right? So we don't sit down until Burke's at bat, I believe, in the bottom of the first. Sit down, Amick immediately goes yard, and then Bear disappears. For like an hour, he's just gone. He just gets up and walks off.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you know what? Whoa, wait, you son of a!
Calm down. I'm just saying.
I disappeared for an hour. I went down and got myself another hot dog, and a pretzel, and another box of M&Ms.
You said the pretzel sucked.
I'll take it up with Tony next time he's on with us. He's got a lot to answer for about the concession stand visit I had. You know where I spent a good 35 minutes of that time?
Where's that?
Talking with Logan in the tent?
No, in line to get your beer.
Oh, wow.
You did not wait 35 minutes to get a beer.
It was a long, long line on Friday night, my friend.
That's how it is.
Yes, I did.
Where did you go? Underneath the stadium there?
No, they've got that one spot down.
Left field, behind left field?
No.
Or behind, like, first left base, field line?
Right field.
Right field line is a better spot to get a beer because they got a couple of places over there.
They only had one Friday, but yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, they really don't have many beer stands at Lindsey Nelson. They should get a few more. But
The restroom situation was stressed Saturday.
Yeah, that checks out.
5:30 p.m., 6,000 people, everyone's drinking, and they got, at least on the left field side, they got four urinals and two toilets.
Wow.
And we were working them. Saturday. I mean, it was just that water bill. Gonna be a lot.
So So like Philly was saying, I'm not really worried at all about the portal in basketball. There's plenty of really good players to get, but I would really like to get that Dubar kid and the Lanier kid from North Florida.
Yeah. We don't talk about Chaz Lanier enough. I have a feeling that if we get him, when all the smoke settles, and I mean, there's going to be four or five guys in this transfer class anyway, that he might be the dude.
Lanier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guy shot 44% from three-point range last year.
He's still not in the portal, right?
He's declared for the draft.
Hey, we need to go to the breaking news desk right now.
Okay. Let's go. Did you hear the tone?
I don't Tucker know if this Harms? Is going to be good.
It is going to be good.
Okay, good.
Oh, good news. All right. Yeah. Here we go. Breaking news, Tucker Harlan.
Hofstra transfer Darlin Stone Dubar has committed to Tennessee.
Hey!
There we go. And out the door, Russ, if I was TJ, I would be worried about who's coaching Kentucky. He looks like a clown. See ya.
Well, I mean, to me, it was the world's largest.
Ad hominem attacks on Mark Pope now?
I'll
sign off.
Yeah, I will as well. That was the biggest collection of sheep this side of New Zealand I've ever seen. What went on up there or up yesterday?
Oh, it was
a sheep convention.
Sheep stock. they came down and don't eat the brown acid at sheep stock. The Who opened up. Hendrix came on at 5:30 in the morning, stoned out of his gourd.
And about 10 geriatric dudes got off. And the last one was carrying a trophy. Was that the team? Those old dudes? They got off that bus? Was that 96 team?
Yeah. Legends, man.
Punks and clowns, every damn one of them.
Yeah, they're Russ's age.
I thought you loved
what
Tony
mean
Delk.
Old dudes.
You said before on the show, like, hey, you love Tony Delk.
He's an incredible shooter. I didn't recognize Delk. In fact, I didn't recognize anybody that stepped off that bus. Tony Delk's one of
Delk
the best.
Is the one, like, he has a very recognizable head. A very recognizable, like, just like bald skull. Like, he's the back of his head goes out kind of like
Greg Bell.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's so weird that you would say that. I was also thinking an alien, but Greg Bell's probably a nicer thing to say.
Tony Delk wishes he was as good at basketball as Greg Bell was.
All right. Well, probably a good time to go ahead and take a break now. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Back with more of your phone calls. Darling Stone Dubar commits to the Volunteers. We'll tell you more about him when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Are you ready to...
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Tennessee getting its first commitment out of the NCAA transfer portal just moments ago. Darlin Stone Dubar, 6'8" wing from Hofstra.
You come up with a good nickname for this guy?
We can work on it.
I feel like with the first name of Darlin Stone, work's kind of done for you.
Dubar took an official visit to Tennessee over the weekend alongside Belmont transfer Cade Tyson. Spent the last three seasons at Hofstra after playing his first season at Iowa State. So a fifth-year guy, veteran guy, big, strong-looking, athletic young man. Averaged a career-high 17.8 points per game in 33 games this season. Shot 53.9%. We'll go ahead and give him 54. From the floor and 39.9%. We'll go ahead and give him 40. From the three-point line.
So is that who we're hoping will replace Triple J's production?
That's the question. I would love to know if they look at him as playing Triple J's position or connect.
Can't wait to talk to Coach Ganey again. See if we can pick it, see if he'll come off anything for us.
Also averaged 6.8. We'll go ahead and give him 7. Rebounds. I'm a big rounder. It's one of the few mathematical skills I retained from my public school
rounding
education.
Rounding up and rounding down.
1.2 assists. We'll leave it at 1.2. Won't go down to 1. 34.6 minutes per game. He averaged 10.3 points per game last season and 11.7 2 years ago. So made a big jump from junior year to averaged right at 7 more a game, I guess, than his junior year this past year. Interesting. Fourth most efficient offensive player in college basketball this season, according to Synergy Basketball. So that's the first big piece of the puzzle. The Tyson kid, I mean, he's the one that shot. What did he shoot from three-point range? Like 48%?
He's like, yeah, 48.7 or something. A ridiculous number. I'm watching some Dubar highlights right now.
Ludicrous. Ludicrous.
So big get for Tennessee with Darlin Stone Dubar committing out of the portal. 865-288-3131, your number to get in on the festivities today. And the big guy, Igor Milicic Jr., will be in on his visit tomorrow.
Did you see his highlight video?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that while you were out. He doesn't play like a 6'10", 225 guy.
I need it.
Need him.
Bring it.
Want him.
I mean, would
huge.
I'm wondering, again, would he replace Adu or Triple J?
Reconnect.
Because I'm wondering if you can talk Awaka to coming back, and you got him and Milicic is basically interchangeable 4 and 5 men, right? And then you got Dubar at the three. If you can get this Lanier kid to come in and play alongside Zakai Ziegler, I'll roll with that.
Cooking with grease at that point.
I'll roll with that.
Yeah.
And there's some more rumblings that Jemai Mashak is looking at sticking around.
Yeah.
He looked awfully – I don't know if you saw it.
The video,
He took part not in the Vol walk, but he was in the Vol walk.
Well, no, the team did their champions walk, and then they got on a stage down there mm-hmm. with the the regular season trophy.
He was slapping about 10,000 high fives,
But then they put the camera on him, and he's just like, oh, it's great to be a Tennessee Vol, right at the camera, and it felt like they wouldn't have released that unless there was,
So the basketball team was down there on the field, like right in front of me for the entire game.
Mm.
And the recruits are there too. Jemai was very chummy
with
all the returning players. It's got to be a little weird when you've got Cade Tyson and Dubar there and you know that Tennessee is recruiting these guys. You're expected to help recruit them, and they're coming in to take your minutes.
They could, but what Jemai keeps in mind is, you finish out your career here. He's been here for his entire career. You basically write your own ticket in this town, dude.
I think there's a role to be played for him on next year's team regardless.
Yes. Yeah.
DR Vol is next on the drive. What's up, DR?
Guys, it's good seeing you all Friday. That was the cold that they must have felt on the Titanic. I could not get warm that night in my Airbnb.
You look about frozen, and Mrs. DR did too.
I think it was a wind, DR.
Yeah.
That was what was getting me. It was that wind.
It was awful. See, I didn't realize that Rusty said it. It was 50 degrees, but God, it felt like it was about 20.
And then the next day, it was steamy in there.
Oh, yeah. I went from hypothermia to melanoma. I am cooked like a lobster. You're talking about how tall I was. I didn't realize how short Jay Johnson was. I'm not a fan of his.
No, he's very punchable face.
Yeah. And, where we sat was right behind LSU dugout, and Tommy Tanks, he's just a punchable guy. He talks about like Eddie Murphy in one of his 90s movies.
If he played for us, we'd love him.
Oh, 100%. But I'm
I was petrified every time he came
him.
To the plate. I mean, he's that good.
Same.
So you could hear Tommy White cursing from the dugout?
Yeah, there was one that stood out. I think it was the second game. It kind of runs together for me. But when he had that base running error, you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Game one or two.
Where he overran third?
He looked like a moron. But he swung his helmet to the dugout from the field and dropped a F-bomb.
So he wasn't cursing at the fans. He was just
probably cursing at himself.
No, he was cursing at the third base coach who sent him and then put the brakes on way too late.
Yeah.
And the throw got back before he could touch third.
Yeah, and he went over to the third base coach when it was over. So I'm sure that was directed towards him.
Right.
Which I can't blame him. Houston, you brought up a good point. The fan shaming is always my favorite thing. I wasn't going to call in until you said that. But, you know, these volunteer club people, if you're trying to get us to donate, you know what I wouldn't do is crap on the people that don't donate. You know, I remember when Kelly got put out of the tournament, Trey Vaughn was one of the worst ones. He's like, well, you know, y'all don't like it, but y'all don't donate. What does that have to do with the play calling it then?
He does that even when Tennessee wins. It's an awful pitch or whatever it is he does.
No, wait, who is this? Trey Vaughn?
Yeah, he's like some Vol Club booster.
Huh. What?
Yeah,
he's like a spokesperson for it, if you will. He's not with Spire or anything, but it's like they have a few of these guys, and I understand it. They're kind of out to recruit other people to join, raise some money.
You catch more flies with honey
and
not vinegar.
Exactly.
Whenever Tennessee loses, and he's like, the losses like this will keep happening if people do not donate to our NIL cause.
Right.
I'd be more like, maybe you just need to mind your business. Mm. Don't worry about
he's not the only one, but I mean, he's just the first name came to mind. But that's what they do. It seems like they would make these people like obviously, like I do sales, and that's not the way you go about getting somebody to donate. I wouldn't think.
No, it's just I don't know. Like it's just that just turns it off for me. I'm just like if that really is like your approach, I can't. I'm not
going to
be fooled that way, right?
No, yeah, I'm not going to. The first game we played football season in Nashville, I had one of those guys. It wasn't that Trey guy. But he came up to me, and I was asking where they were going to tailgate, and he had all this vodka, and it was that vodka the NIL's doing. And he was wondering if I'm a member. I said, no. Well, he proceeded to price everything I had on. And when he got done, he's like, so you could donate. And I said, now I work my ass off, so I'm going to spend my money where I want to spend it. I'll never donate because of that one person.
Wow!
Wow!
I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. We donate like that, and I spent $15 per beer at the baseball field. I feel like it's pretty good.
DR, $15 beers. That's what we charge now at sporting events. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Good seeing you the other night.
Yeah, good seeing y'all.
DR Vall making his presence felt. We got to run hour number 3 of the drive coming up.